And I am married to Pastor Ronnie. And yes, we are, hopefully, Lord willing, moving to Italy. So, buongiorno. Lisa asked me to speak this weekend. We were blessed to go. Can I move this without going zzz? Okay. There we go. I'm a little bit taller. Sorry. We went to the Pastor's Wife's Retreat this week. And it was such a blessing because the Lord is so good. And just like we're talking, Lisa's talking about God being a personal God and singing to yourself and singing to the Lord, you know, personally and making it a personal worship to Him. That was just some time of reflection on the things that God has done in and through my life and is still doing. And so I wanted to, first of all, just open up in prayer and then read a verse that ministered to me this week with the Lord. So did you pray with me? Father God, you are so good. You're such a blessing, and you're so awesome, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, just as we read that verse earlier today, Lord God, the same things that you brought comfort to us, Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, that we are able to bring comfort to others, Lord. And we know, Lord God, even through that season of pain or heartache or suffering, Lord God, you were there right with us. And we thank you for that, that we have a God that knows all things. Nothing is hidden from you, Lord. And in the depths of our heart where we need you the most, you're there and you're consistent and you're faithful. So, Lord, I just ask right now, Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, that you would give me the words to bring comfort, to bring encouragement, to bring edification to these women, Lord God, to bring strength and endurance. And the things that they need to hear where they're at, Lord God. And so I thank you, Lord, for the work that you have done and are continuing to do, Lord God. I thank you for the promise that you've begun the good work and you are faithful to complete that work until you return, Lord. So we just ask, Lord God, that you'd be right here in the center of the midst of our conversation with these ladies today, Lord. These are your women, Lord God. These are your sheep. And I just pray, Lord God, that the words that come from my mouth, Lord, would be directly from your heart, Lord. So we thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. So we were taught 1 Peter 5, and I'm the one verse that sticks out to my heart. There was several of them, so I don't want to, you know, make light of any other verse. But the one verse that the Lord kind of grabbed a hold of my heart was verse 10. So if you have your Bibles open, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you." And it goes on about, "To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." But the verse that stuck out for me, and then I'll get ready to share and hopefully it'll make sense, is "after you have suffered a while." And then goes on to say the good words. You know, suffer always is not necessarily a good word. And then here comes the good words that the Lord gives, the promise of perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. And for me, a lot of you guys, ladies, may not know my full testimony, and I'm going to kind of go through it, not in a quick way, but I really don't want to focus too much on the bad or the negative. I want to focus on the good thing, where the Lord has accomplished and what he's done and where I'm at today. So with that said, I got to kind of give you the bad and the ugly to get to the good. So for me, basically, I've lived a life that was very difficult, and I had to build trust again. It was really difficult for me to even trust in the Lord because of all of the heartache and the pain and the suffering that went on. When I was approximately 5, I was molested or sexually abused. People like to use a different word, verbiage, by my grandfather, and that was my mom's dad. And by the grace of God, I can say to you, grandfather, because for the longest time, I would say my mom's dad, because I didn't want to give him any honor as calling him anything related to me. But that's a work that God has done. And I would say approximately 2-3 years after that, my great-grandfather sexually abused me. And I grew up thinking that, my mom was always told us, you know, or told me, I should say, that, I'm sure your mom's too, don't ever let a stranger touch you, don't ever let someone, you know, speak to you, don't speak to strangers, you know, the whole gamut of, you know, what not to do. But it was never a family member, okay? So I always thought, my gosh, I just don't like what my, you know, the men in my family are doing, and this is uncomfortable. But I was also very afraid to share. And some of the things that my grandfather said to me made it to where I was afraid even more to speak, and I don't want to get into that. So, and it wasn't until I was older, I was actually 16 years old, and I don't know how many of you ladies took this, but we had to take home ec in high school, and they had the video with the sexual abuse video and everything. And, you know, I've heard, like I said, I've heard all about don't let strangers touch you and everything like that. Well, in this particular movie, it was the girl's uncle. And it was like, oh my gosh, I mean, this is what really happened to me. And it was like the light bulb went on that this was wrong, because you have to understand, by different family members growing up, to me, I thought that was normal. And I know it sounds really, you know, disgusting, but I didn't understand that that was something that was off boundaries. And it wasn't until that classroom when I watched that video that I literally had to get out of my seat, and I went and cried. And my home ec teacher looked at me, and she was just like, she at that point, you know, realized that there was something definitely wrong. And so then it was when I started, you know, sharing a little bit with my best friend, and never went to my mom. My mom and I weren't really close. So I just didn't feel I could, because that, of course, was her dad, and I'd be letting her down, that, you know, telling her about her dad. So I kept that, you know, never told her anything. And it wasn't until I was, oh gosh, I guess I'm fast forwarding a little bit, but until I was 19 years old that I was at getting ready. Actually, no, I was a little bit older than that. Forgive me. I was 19 years old, and some other issues took place. And I was actually on what I don't want to call it a date, because it was because it wasn't a date. I was with a friend in the park, and she met her boyfriend, and the guy came along, and she went off with her boyfriend, and I was alone with this guy, and I was raped there at Creek Park. And so that was horrific. So I dealt with the sexual abuse growing up, and then the rape in the park. And then later on my 21st birthday in my own home, I was raped by my roommate's boyfriend. So I had issue upon issue upon issue that I believed the lies of the enemy, feeling that I was, something was wrong with me. There was, you know, a repeated offense. And again, I'm covering over this because I really don't want to, like I said, give glory to what had happened, because I want to get to the good part. So I don't want you guys to think, wow, she's speaking about this like rather matter of fact, but those are just past details. And so for me, growing up with a family that loved food, it was really easy for me to put on weight. All throughout high school, I stayed at athletic weight because I played sports. I played basketball and I played softball. So it was really easy for me to control the food with exercise. So I knew that. It was a no-brainer for me. Well, on my 21st birthday, after that happened, I was just done. You know, because it was a struggle. When you're eating, you know, consuming a lot, you need to exercise to balance that off. And I just didn't want to do that anymore. So I had put on 50 pounds within a matter of 3 months. And I had just met my husband, okay? So here he met me at a nice athletic weight. I met him 4 days before my 21st birthday. And then he had to, you know, just me had to deal with that situation. And then I was about 6 months after that in my same apartment community, because I used to work as a food server at Denny's there on Malvern. And this man that lived in my apartment community was stalking me. And I got called in early one night, and I normally worked 7 to 2 shift every time. That was my shift. And one of the waitresses was sick, and they called me in at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so I said, okay, and had to travel through the Comer Creek apartments. If you guys know those on Malvern, travel through, there's a little cutway through our community, through Ralph's, and then onto the parking lot. So that's where it's pretty much lit. So I'm like, okay, I got into work, and you know, she ends up leaving. It's just me and a busboy and a cook, and that's it. So I'm like, okay, and they have a few regulars. So usually at that kind of a restaurant, there's always the same people in there. They're getting their coffee, their bagel and cream cheese, or whatever their, you know, thing is every day. They're creatures of habit, I like to say. So it was me and 2 other people in there, and this man comes in with just this glare in his face, and just like staring at me. And I just thought, oh, but I've seen him before. I knew that I had saw him before, so I was kind of like, can I help you? And he hands me this big, thick envelope, and he just like pushes it over to me. and just glares, looks me up and down. I'm going, okay, I'm ready to look over. Okay, where's the cook? Where's the... And then he just kind of keeps staring and backs off. And I thought, oh my gosh. And I didn't want to touch the envelope. I'm like, oh, I don't even know what's in it. So then a customer ended up coming in. So I quickly put it in my apron and, you know, I kind of ignored it a little bit because I had my, you know, my, my pad to write down menus and things like that, or to write down their orders. Thank you. So I have that in there, and I forgot. So when I actually had my break at, I think it was 9:30, I went to take out, you know, normally if you've ever been a waitress before, you take out all your stuff because your apron is so big with your change and everything. You have to take out your stuff to sit down. So I take out my stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's this creepy envelope. I'm like, what is it? And I knew he's been a customer of mine, so I knew I saw him and everything. So I go to open it up, and it's this thick letter of all these things that he wants to do to me and this naked picture of himself. And I just thought, it was just as if someone said, okay, you're done, you're finished, no more. And it was just a tip. There was no more in me to fight at all. That was it. And so what I did was, in a matter of 6 months, gained another 100 pounds. So I gained 150 pounds in a year. And by the grace of God, I have an awesome husband that stayed with me through all that because, you know, you want, especially as I try to speak to the young girls, you want a man that loves you for you. And I believe in my whole heart, and he has proven it to be so, I have a husband that loves me for me. Regardless of what I look like, regardless of how many pounds I have on, regardless of who I am, he loves me for me. And so, excuse me. So without the Lord, I did not know the Lord at all, obviously. I hid under the only thing I knew, which was my weight. And 150 pounds, you can hide a lot. And so I just kind of carried that along with me. I kind of called it, I was sharing with my friend, just my parka, my winter coat, my big jacket. It just, it hid who I was inside. It hid my fear. It hid my pain. You know, people used to say, oh my gosh, you know, you're so happy all the time. You're so joyous. And it's kind of like the joke of, you know, the big fat people are always jolly. But you really don't know what's going on inside. And for me, when I finally did give my life to the Lord, that was the first thing that I wanted to deal with. Because I thought, oh my gosh, like Lisa had talked about earlier, I'm wearing my sin on the outside. Because, you know, I'm not controlling my food and it's not, you know, working. And, you know, it's not a secret sin, I guess you could say. So with the Lord, you know, he's gracious and he knows exactly the right timing. He knows what areas to heal. He knows what comes first. We are the ones that have things out of order. And so I would try to lose weight. I'd lose 60 pounds and then put back 80. I would lose 40 pounds and put back 70 because it just wasn't my time yet. I wasn't dealing with the issues inside. I wasn't dealing with the forgiveness. I wasn't dealing with the issues of trusting the Lord even in this area. Because if you have something happen to you four different times, the trust is just not there. And so the Lord really wants to reveal to me that I do need to trust him regardless of the situation. And one of the things that he ministered to me about is that he expressed to me that the sin that he died for was even the sin of those men. And that ministered to me volumes. Because it wasn't just my sin, it wasn't just your sin, but it was even the sin of the wicked sin. Sometimes it's hard for us to think of those things. Because we want to think of, you know, God, yeah, God forgives, you know, this person, that person, but not something that's so wicked and evil and personal. Or the, you know, the molestation of a child, or the innocence, or even, you know, abducting children and the things that go on today. We don't want to think of God forgiving that, but he has. The Bible says and declares that there isn't any sin other than the impardonable sin, and that's the sin without knowing Jesus is the only sin that's not forgiven. So for me, having to take that in and having to respect that and honor that, you know, and also the verse that says that, you know, if I want my Heavenly Father to forgive me, I need to be able to forgive others. And I know I'm paraphrasing that verse. But that's what ministered to my heart, and it began slowly. And I do say slowly because the last offense was on my 21st birthday, and I am 36 today. So it's taken 15 years, and I didn't know the Lord until I was, I think, 25. So let's say, in all honesty, 11 years. And so for me, in my timing, in my time span, I wanted to lose the weight like Like how I'm sure all of us here, you know, we want to lose the weight within 6 months, half a month, or whatever our weight is that we want to lose, we want to lose it rapidly. And there's all these different things that say, take this pill, do this diet, Jenny Craig. I mean, we're just like, we're looking for the quickest thing. And the Lord was trying to tell me to my heart that the weight is not the issue. It's the inner heart. It's the things inside that is the issue. The weight is the final chapter of what I want to do in you. And so for me, this verse is so strong because for many years I suffered. I suffered with the guilt. I suffered with the shame. I suffered with the humiliation being in the youth ministry and I'll share my number because I'm not that number anymore, at 390 pounds. That's where I was at. And it was very difficult for me to step out of my shell and really, really minister to these girls because I felt so like I was, I think I judged myself more than they judged me. You know, I just didn't want to say certain things. I thought they're not going to want to listen to this, you know, extremely obese woman. They're not going to want to hear from me. They're not going to want to even, you know, they're going to think, you can't even get yourself together and lose a weight. Why should I hear anything you have to say? Was the enemy and the lies that was just bottled my head on a daily basis. So it really affected things. And it wasn't until this last year that I knew, and Lisa talks about this, and this is what's scary to me, is that she talks about that dread that came over her one day. I lived with that dread for over a year. And for those who know me, I was really sick for a part of time. And I was on, like, I want to say 10 different medications. I had one medication, they had me on steroids. And the steroids gave me the weight gave me high blood pressure. And then I was on sulfasine. And I was on 3 different medications for my RA. And then I was on pain medication. I mean, you name it, I was on it. It was kind of a joke because every time I went to go into the doctor, it was like, okay, I see you're on this. Oh, are you still taking this? Okay, yeah, this. And it was just, it was incredible. And at the time, I was 34. I just thought, Lord, I'm 34 years old. How, if I'm taking 10 medications at 34, what am I going to be like at 44? Or am I going to be at 54? Or am I even going to live to 44? And that was basically the wake-up call that I needed. And all of us, like Lisa said, there are certain people that need a major wake-up call, and some people just need a little alarm clock ring. I needed the major wake-up call. And so, like I said, the Lord at the same time had to deal with these issues, and I had to give totally everything and surrender it all unto Him. And that was difficult because I wanted to hold on to that, because it's almost like if you let it all go, it's almost like saying that it's okay that happened to you, if you understand what I mean. And it was like I had to sit there and wrestle with that. And the one thing that ministered to my heart was that the Lord put me this picture, and that in those times that not only was He there with me, but He was there and He was weeping over those events. Because for God to wipe out that sin of those men, He would have to wipe out all of our sin, because that's how holy God is. And so not only was He there with me, but it grieved Him and it pained Him. But that yet He was going to use that. He was going to turn around. He's so powerful that He was going to use that hurt, that pain, that shame, that guilt for His glory later on. And that I just needed to be ready for that day. I was like, okay, Lord, if you can use this awful, just, I consider it all just yuck, because it is. It's just, if you've never had any kind of sexual abuse, if you've never felt those things, the worst thing is the guilt and shame. Even when you're a kid, it's like, what did I do? What did I say? How did I act? What happened? You know, when you get to be a teenager, it's the same thing. Was I wearing? Did I flirt too much? I mean, you know, the media puts it all upon the victim, not the people that are actually doing the crime. And so as a woman, repeating it over and over again, I used to think, what is wrong with me? Something must be terribly wrong with me. And then the Lord had shown me that it wasn't me. And that's where I got my first step of victory. That had nothing to do with me at all. I just happened to be at the place where sin took place. And it just happened to be me that it happened to. And I'm no different than the other person that it happened to, or the other child, or even the children that are happening to as I speak right here today in front of you. The statistics nowadays are horrific. They say 1 in 4 girls and even boys now will have been sexually abused. And so for me, I think, wow, Lord, so this is true. You can use the things that you've done in me. You can use the healing, the strength, the things that you have accomplished in me through this to minister to others. Because there is such a stronghold on young girls, especially, that think that, how can I even trust God? Where was God in all this? There must not be a God. And that's a complete lie of the enemy. There is no other, God was there, and I know he was there, and he's proven himself faithful, just like this verse we shared about allowing the suffering, because it took place for him to not wipe out that sin. And then now he's perfecting it, and now he's establishing. Now he's strengthening me, and now he's settling me. And as of this morning, I've lost 130 pounds. I have lost my daughter and my son. Not a deal, but my daughter and my son, my 10-year-old. And basically what happened, I'm sure everybody's going to say, well, how did you do it? Well, actually, first of all, the Lord. Because it took me to say, okay, Lord, let's deal with the issues inside. Let's deal with these. Gave this to me in my heart. Let's heal it and seal it. So I can't go back and get it out because, I thought several times, I'm healed. But I was never sealed. I never let the Holy Spirit seal it to where, Christy, you're not even going to go back there. There's no even ands, ifs, or buts. You cannot go back there. It is done. You are a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's nothing on you. Because I used to think people could tell. I used to think, oh my gosh, this person can tell that, I'm a victim. I must have a big V, like the scarlet letter, a big V on my forehead. And now it's like, no, I have a big L for the Lord belonging to him, or J belonging to Jesus. And I don't have those same guilt and feelings. And so it's been about a year now. I started in October, and the Lord has blessed me. I have a Titus 2 woman in my campground that walked with me and prayed with me and cried with me and shared with me. And even at the point where I thought, oh my gosh, I have to lose 200 pounds. How am I going to do this? This is like more than my husband weighs. This is impossible, And she was just, she embodied Jesus for me. And she was there, and she was faithful, and walked around the Biola track with me, and would encourage me, and email me, and say, and I would say, oh gosh, I lost 2 pounds this week. 2 pounds, that's great, and I wanted 4 or 5 pounds, And she was just consistent with me, and that was totally the Lord, and the Lord embodied her body and gave that to me. And just so you know, I went through 6 months of classes. And to prepare myself for the bypass surgery. And it's called RNY. And what they did is, I call up my pouch now. This week where I was coming, my pouch is full, not my stomach. My stomach literally is, all of our stomachs is over here. And everybody else but me, you have a football-sized stomach. And my stomach is the size of an egg. So what they did is they cut in half, or not even half, I would say a 16th portion, and moved it over to here. And then my other stomach is still over here because it still has a function. And then it comes down here. It is a Y formation. And then it comes down into the large intestine. So literally what happens is when I eat, all the nutrition value and everything just bypasses. It just goes right through. So daily I have to take a multivitamin. I have to take a B12. I take a B complex, which helps with the hair because they lose hair. I take an iron pill because I was deficient in my iron, and that's okay with me because I was used to taking 10 pills at an unhealthy weight. And so with the Lord embodying that special woman, I lost almost 50 pounds, 47. I like to round up. I always say 50, but it was 47 before the surgery, and I had the surgery June 5th. And since then, I've lost another, I think, I'm trying to do the math, another almost 80 pounds. So it's been a journey because when Lisa talked about daily where you need to read your Bible, that is ultimately true. But for me, not only is it daily to read the Bible, but for me, daily I need to exercise. So the Lord has blessed it. My husband and I, we joined a 24-hour fitness. So there's no excuses whatsoever because God knew that. Lisa was gracious to invite me to come use her gym, but I just knew it would be an excuse of, I can't get there in time or whatever. And the Lord knew that about me. And see, for me, as we were talking about before, there's some women that need a wake-up call and some just need that little alarm clock. And for me, I needed to be almost like, okay, push. And I knew that I needed that. And it's just so neat because what she was talking about, how the Lord doing a work in the pastor's wives. And I was telling her this week, I said, you must have just walked by, and I must have just walked by because I heard a group of ladies saying, man, what's going on with these pastors' wives? They're looking great. Look how much weight they're losing. I just thought, wow, what a testimony, Lord, of the things that you're doing. Because it's what you have done. It's what you're doing in and through us. It's the victory that you're giving to us. And for me, I had not super high cholesterol. My cholesterol was like 230, so it wasn't 220. So it wasn't radically high, but now it's like 110, I think it is. Last time they excited my blood work all the time because my RA. I had sleep apnea. I don't use a machine anymore, so praise God to that. All the medications that I used to take, other than one, because I have to take it because of I have RA, and so every 6 weeks I go in the hospital for 6 hours to have a Remicade IV infusion, because nothing's coming out, sorry, infusion, and I take a medication along with it called Sulfazine that somehow it counteracts and it works that I have to take. But other than that, that's it. Praise God, huh? So from 10 medications down to the medication that I know, and that was one of the things the surgeon had said to me, is that, your blood pressure is going to go away. You have to take the Tylenol anymore. I'm like, okay. He's like, you're not going to have to take, in a month, you probably won't need your sleep apnea machine. I'm like, yes. And then he said, all the other medications, he said, but I'm sorry. He said, the RA is not going to go away. And I said, you know what? It's okay. I said, because I believe if God wants to remove that, he'll remove that. And if he wants me to have RA, that's okay, because he's going to use it for his glory and for his purpose. Because I do know what it's like to suffer daily. I do know what it's like to wake up and my body just does not want to move. Even losing, the 125, almost 130 pounds, I know what it's like to get up and all of a sudden my leg doesn't want to move. With the pastor's riser tree, we literally got up for worship and my knee just went. And I went, oh, Lord, help me. And I pushed it in and, okay, I'm ready. So I know what it's like. I know what it's like to hurt and suffer. But I also know what it's like to have victory through the Lord. And that's what I really wanted to share today. I wanted to focus on the good things that God has done. I wanted to focus on how much he cares for you individually where you're at. He wants to bring victory. He wants to bring encouragement and strength. So Weber Valley, I'm just using a testimony of a part for me. That's just one facet of what God wants to do. He wants to bring you strength. He wants to use that for you to be able to go and share and speak with another person. He wants to give you that healing, like I said, that he gave me the healing and sealing, so that way I can't go back and dig it back up. And I know that one thing the Lord just totally, we had a youth workers conference this year in January, and the Lord just met me. I've never had the Lord meet me in such a physical way ever in my life. And what had happened, and I'll leave you this story, was they had afterglow. And during the afterglow, one of the ladies came up, and she was crying. And it's like, oh, gosh, I know that something's going on. It's the Spirit, because that's how the Spirit speaks to me, is when I'm crying. It's like I get up here, and I'm like, Lisa calls me the Jeremiah, because it's totally the Spirit. I just can't really even speak. So I know she's getting up there, and she's saying, about one of you is dealing with cutting, and you're hurting yourself, and then she goes on to say these other things. She goes, one of you, you've been raped, and you're mad at God, and God wants to heal you. And I'm like, okay, Lord, this girl needs you. She needs you right now. She needs you to minister to her. I know what it's like, Lord, and I pray, Father, that you would just strengthen her, speak to her, give her. And it was like all of a sudden, as I'm wrestling with this prayer, he's like, you're the one. I went, uh-oh. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not mad. I'm not angry. What are you talking about? And all of a sudden, it was like, when the Spirit hits you at the same time, that impact, I just started crying. I had to leave. And I'm sure my poor husband and Dietra and Eva are probably going, what's wrong with her? Because I had to get out and walk. And I walked out, and I was just like, oh, gosh, Lord, what's wrong? And it was like he was trying to show me. Because I'm getting ready to go through the surgery that, there's no turning back. For me. Now, there are women that have the surgery and put the weight back. I'm sure you might even know people. But there's no turning back for me, because he wants to do just that. Heal it and seal it. And so I'm sitting there and I'm walking with them, and he's like, all of a sudden, and I kid you not, it's almost like eerie to say this because it's totally the Lord. I'm walking there, and all of a sudden I walk up, and there's this man-made rock, an imitation rock. And I stood right before it and going, okay. And then all of a sudden, it was like the Lord's trying to tell me that not to build my life on imitation, to build it on the rock, on Jesus. And I was like, okay. And I just kept like, you know, praying and walking. All of a sudden, I went to this big, huge boulder. It was a real rock. And he was telling me that I need to put my faith and trust in the real rock, not in the imitation of the diet, not in the tool of losing the weight, but on Jesus and Jesus alone. I was like, okay, Lord, I know, but I have this, you know, I gotta do this. And all of a sudden, I'm like, how, Lord, can I do this? I don't know how to deal. This is so difficult. 200 pounds, it seems so overwhelming. And I don't want to go back there. I don't want to have bad memories. I don't want the enemy to come dig it back up. And all of a sudden, I kid you not, a white dove just flies over my head. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then right as that white dove comes over my head, it's like the power of the Holy Spirit. That right there, I was like, this is eerie, because I'm literally walking, because I was praying and telling him I needed to hear from him. I was like Jacob wrestling with him. I needed to hear and know that no matter what, he was going to minister and he was going to be there through me, be there with me, excuse me, not through me, be there with me during, even if that event happens again. And so it was just like we, you know, and then all of a sudden I was like, okay, Lord, and I had like a fear that came about me. And at that very moment, I started hearing these coyotes just devour an animal. It was like God was trying to tell me, do not let Satan devour you. Do not allow him to enter into your thoughts. Do not allow him to take away what I am doing through your life. And I was just like, it was intense. It was like one of those, like, oh my gosh, Lord, you're so good, because you know I need literal things right in front of my face. And I just sat there and I just cried like I've never cried before. I just emptied it all out and I left it at the altar of Jesus. And I have not been the same since that night. The Lord has come in, and what this is the awesome thing is, like I told you, I went to classes every Thursday. I was able to come back after this retreat and share with this group. And there's 12 people in there, and some of them they say they're believers, and some I know for sure are not. So they had a time of question answering, how was your week, what went on, da da da, and everything, and I got to my part, and I just let it out. I just told exactly what I just told you, and they were just like, oh my gosh, you know. And I said, you know, because it's the power of God. It's the power of God that's going to help me to lose this weight. It's the power of God that's going to give me strength to push away from the table. Because Eric kept saying to me, Christy, how are you losing the weight so fast? I said, it's God. It's Jesus. I'm like, but no, what are you eating? No, it's Jesus. You know, they want to, but wait a minute. You know, what do you do? What's your schedule? It's Jesus. And they're like, okay, you know. And I just told him, I said, it's the Lord, because Christy doesn't have that. If Christy was able to do that, do you think I would have done it 11 years ago? Oh, yeah. You know, like Lisa said, who wants to be the F word, fat? You know, no one wants to be that. And for me, it was the Lord that intervened. It was my divine appointment and my time with the Lord. Now, is it easy? No. There was a whole season of where I couldn't eat things. I'd get sick every time I ate. I felt really dizzy. I felt tired. I was at 24-hour fitness just a week before, and I was working out, and I literally thought I was going to faint because I'm just not eating enough. And I had to drink my water. But for me, I just knew that God used this. This is just a tool. You know, I know a lot of people in the media like to hype it up, and it's like another little weight loss. Let's do it fast. Do it quick. It wasn't a quick thing for me, even though the Lord has had to deal with me on that in my flesh, because I'm thinking, you know, you guys say, oh, wow, 120-130 pounds. I'm going, but I need to lose another 60 more, Lord. So can we hurry this up? This has been a year. And the Lord's trying to tell me no, because it's not about the weight. It's not about the pounds. The pounds are going to come. What it's about is your discipline onto me. It's about getting up in the morning and spending my devotional time. And I got a great devotional this week, and I'm so excited about it. It was Into the Chambers. And it's just a time for me and the Lord to just, I want to say, like, romance and remember just the good things that he's done, just where he's met me. Like Joshua talks about those memorial stones. That's where it is. And for me, this is a chapter in my life. It's a memorial boulder, because for so long, it totally took over my entire life. It made me an insecure wife. It made me an insecure minister to the girls. It made me insecure with the women. It made me even to where I didn't want to reach out and speak to new women. I went and said hi to two new faces today, and I never would have done that. I would have went to the lady that I knew closest to me, and if Lisa's even, I would have been disobedient sheep. She would have said, go speak to that lady over there, and I would have said, oh, Deidre, how are you? But for now, for me, even though, like I said, even though I have another 65 pounds to lose, I just feel I'm in the right place spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and physically. Where before, if you have one of those things off balance, girls, ladies, you're going to walk off balance. Your walk is going to be off balance. You need to have your spiritual first. Then you have to have your emotionals, you know, embodied and intact. And then the physical. And if those things are off somewhere, then guess what? You're going to be off somewhere. And that's what the Lord had to tell me, is that, you know what, you're so much wanting to focus on the physical, or you want to focus on the physical and the emotional, or you want to be just the spiritual, or, you know, that, he's like, no, we have to have all three. They need to come together. Because the whole secret to that is, if you're feeling good, like she said about earlier, if you're feeling good and you're exercising and you're taking care of yourself, then you're going to want to go and have fun with your kids. You're going to want to go and clean your house and make a nice meal for your husband. You're going to do things with the right motive and the right heart, instead of doing it like, oh, gosh, I got to go clean the house again. Oh, my gosh, I got to go make dinner again. I got to go pick somebody up right now. You're going to just have a grudgingly attitude. You're going to do it as a moaner. And are you bringing glory to God through that? No, you're not. You may be doing, you might be going through the physical aspects of those things, but if you're not doing it with the right heart and the right motive, now I say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, I get to go work out today. Lord, thank you, I get to go clean my house today. Lord, thank you, I get to go pick up my kids from school or pick them up. I get to do these things because it's a privilege and an honor to be a wife. You know, the Bible says a good wife is a crown to her husband, right? I want to be that crown. I want to be someone where people say, wow, you know, that man's taken care of. You know, he's got a good wife. He's been taken care of. And if I can't do that, then guess what? People are going to say, something's wrong. Something's off balance. That was kind of the joke of one of the ladies. My husband loves to eat. And he would go to work, and I'd have his leftover lunch and everything. And the sweet ladies that were in the back of the Master's Choice were like, oh, Pastor Ronnie, you look so hungry. You want some of my sandwich? And he's just like, sure. I mean, you offer my husband food, he's not going to tell you no. So for the longest time, these women thought that I wasn't feeding my husband. So they would literally make a lunch for him and a lunch for them. And I thought, honey, they're going to think that I don't feed you. Because, but no, I love the food they make. They're so good. But it was man's, you know, or I should say woman's, you know, and their perception of that. He was being fed, but he enjoyed the food. It's kind of like that for us. What is the perception that we're leaving? Are we leaving the perception or that fragrance of Christ behind? Are we leaving that we get to go and serve the Lord? We get to be a part of the girls' ministry. I am blessed to be a part of the girls' ministry. I'm honored that God allows me to be in that ministry. I'm on my knees daily asking, seeking the Lord to give me strength and to give me wisdom on how, what to do with the girl ministry. So it's a whole different perspective. Instead of looking things with fear or blinders, it's looking things with, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you today that I can get to get up and serve you. Thank you, Lord, that I get to do these things. So that's my prayer for you ladies, is that wherever you're at, wherever avenue or street that you're on right now with the Lord, is that the Lord reveals that to you, that there is good things that he has for you, and there's things that he wants to use you, and he wants to glorify himself in you, and he wants to use the things that he's done and brought, it says that verse, settlement and strength to bring honor and glory and to minister to others. So I thank you for this time, ladies. God bless you.